This podcast is brought to you by JewishPodcasts.org. Start your very own podcast today at JewishPodcasts.org.
This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Tazria. So we're actually going to speak 5784. We're going to talk about the Haftorah this week. In Melachim Beis Parachas Pasuk Yod, it says, Vayishlach Elav Elisha Malach Lemor. So this is Naaman. Naaman had tzaras. And he was told by a Nara, a young girl that was with him, that he should go to Elisha. And that if Naaman would go to Elisha, Elisha would be able to heal him. So he actually sends a message to the king of Israel, and it didn't work out. And then he actually went to Elisha itself. But instead of Elisha himself going out to Naaman and telling him what to do, it says, Vayishlach Elav Elisha Malach Lemor. Elisha sent him a message, saying, a messenger, saying, Haloch v'rachatza sheva pam b'yardein, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River, v'yashul b'sor chaloch v'tor. And then your skin will come back the way it was, your flesh is gonna come back, and you'll be completely pure. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'yik sof naaman v'yilch, so Naaman got really angry and he left. I thought he was gonna come out to me, right? V'amad v'kara v'shem v'shem alokav, and then you stand up and you call in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is God, v'hini v'yadu alamakom, and he like wave his hand on the makom, and all my tzaras would go away. And that's not what happened. Instead, he just sent a message to me and told me to go wash in the Jordan River. What in the world is this? So why did Elisha tell him to wash himself in the Jordan River? Why specifically the Jordan River? How is that going to help him whatsoever? The Metzudas David says that there was a simple, natural reason for it, and there's actually a natural idea that the tzaras causes the flesh to become weaker and thinner, right? While dipping in the river will fatten that part of his skin, and therefore will make it healthier, thus making him taller. So there was a natural remedy idea. That's how the Metzudas David says it. The Mincha Ketan, on the other hand, says Elisha did not mention that he would have a refuah. He didn't even say the word refuah. He just said b'yashul b'sor chaloch, that your skin, your flesh, is going to come back the way it is. It's going to return to what it was. He wanted him to know that this was not going to be a natural refuah. This is not going to be something you expect. It would be something out of the ordinary and completely unexpected. Naaman did not understand what he was saying, and that's why he became very, very upset. But he wasn't expecting anything different. The Malbim says this as well. He wanted to show him that this is going to be done through natural means, right? Through natural means, or even through magic words that he was going to say. The refuah is going to happen through the words of a Navi. A Navi was going to say something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to follow through it, because that is the power of a Navi. Even if there was something natural about the Jordan River being able to heal you, it seems weird, because the waters of the Jordan are really, really cold. They're considered the exact opposite of what tzaras would be. Tzaras is something that comes from the overheating of someone's flesh, right, in some way, shape, or form. That means that the makkah is going to be healed through another makkah, and that doesn't make much sense. The Abravanel says the exact same thing. The cold should have aggravated the sickness and the skin disease that he had. That it cured him showed how great the miracle really was. Now that all explains the Jordan River itself. Now why 7 times? Why specifically 7 times? The Maral says that the number 7 represents order, structure. It represents the center of anything, connecting the 4 directions as well as up and down, the 6 to the center, which is the 7th altogether. 7 obviously represents something that's going to be spiritual completion, as in the 7 days of the cycle of Shemitah, the 7 days of Shabbos itself. The same could be said about anything that deals with 7, and clearly the world runs within the idea of 7 itself. The Kli Yakar adds, when Naaman recognizes this idea, it would help him do tshuva, to recognize that God has created the entire earth and everything in it. That's the idea behind it. The Alkir Gershuni says it caused Naaman himself to be able to observe the 7 mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The number 7 represented those 7 mitzvahs of the B'nai Noach that they were going to have. It seems Naaman himself understood this. He said the 7 represents what I'm going to have to do in the future. In the 8th parak of Sanhedrin, at the end of parak Ben Sora Amora, there's a question of B'nai Noach are commanded to keep the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, to die rather than keep any of these mitzvahs. Are they chayiv to give up their life for it? And Abayi says there's no way that they would have to give up their life for it, because then there would be 8 mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and the 8th mitzvah would be give up your life for all this. Naaman asked Elisha for forgiveness because he said, when I go with the king, I'm going to have to go down to Beis Nisroch Elohav, to the area of Nisroch, and we're going to have to bow down there, and I'm not going to mean it, but I'm not going to have a choice. I'm going to have to go ahead and do it, right? And from that, he said the following. He said, since you're allowing me to do this, he said to Elisha, it must be that it's clear there's only 7 mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and Kiddush Hashem is not a chiyuv for me. That's why I know that I'm allowed to do this, since I'm not commanded to give up my life for it, even though it would be bowing down to an idol, which I don't mean. I'm only helping out my king doing it. And he was correct. Elisha allowed him to do so, and that is exactly what the halacha is. That's how the Alkir Gershuni says it. Rashi says that Naaman was shocked by Elisha's audacity. He didn't even walk out to say hi. He didn't walk Malchut to say anything to him. He just sent a message through someone. It's not even a chush of someone. It's a guy who's unnamed. We don't even know if it was Elisha's Gehazi or somebody else entirely, just a messenger, right? And he said it to him what he's going to do. He assumed that Elisha and Avi would just wave his hand over the affected spot. That's really what the pasuk says, which is obviously not what happened. Now, the Metzudas David says he was shocked by two things. First, he assumed that he would treat him with tremendous respect as a leader and a chush of person by coming out to greet him. And second, regarding the refuah, he assumed, said Naaman, that he would pray to his God and cause a refuah to happen al pines in some way that everybody would be able to see. And that didn't happen, obviously. The Miyamoi says he also didn't understand the natural remedy. In other words, the way it was supposed to be. I didn't come to see a doctor, he said. I thought this man was a Navi. Why would he say something so silly to me? That didn't make any sense to me. Why is he going to tell me to do something that seems to be a refuah from a doctor? The Malbim says he didn't understand something which got him upset. And the following. Elisha told him to come. Yavo na Eli. That's exactly what Elisha said in the Pasuk before this. In Pasuk tests, he says, Yavo na Eli. Tell Naaman to come to me. So he wanted me to come to him. If he wanted to send me a message to go to the Jordan River, he could have done that for me when I was over there. He told me to come to him. And then when I do go to him, he doesn't even come out to greet me? That doesn't make any sense. I assumed that the reason why he wanted me to come to him is that he could see the sickness, so he could daven for me right in front of my face, similar to Yitzchak davening for Rivka l'nochach ishto, when she needed to be able to. So obviously that's the idea behind it. Why in the world did he ask me to come if he didn't really want to see me in the first place and he never planned on seeing me? That doesn't make any sense at all. Talmid HaKrah says the Nara that he was with told him that the remedy for both wealthy people and for poor people when it comes to Saras was the same. The Kohen would go out to the Metzora and he would sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma on them when they had to become Tahor, and then they would become Tahor. And it doesn't make a difference how wealthy you are, how poor you are. It was all going to be the exact same thing. He assumed the same thing was going to happen right over here. He would just wave his hands on that place and that was going to be fine, which is exactly what the Kohen did, declaring it Tameh, declaring it Tahor. That's why he brought a large amount of money. He thought he was going to have to bring Korbanos, because that's what the Nara told him he was going to have to do. That befits an usher who's getting healed from Tsaras, even though you won't have to pay the guy, the Kohen who does anything, but you do have to bring Korbanos, as well as a change of clothing, knowing that a Metzora would have to change his clothing, right, tailored, you know, to be able to become from going Tameh to Tahor, he would have to do that as well. So Tameh to Kroh says that the whole thing was a process that he thought was going to be the tower of the Metzora that was going to happen over here. So why did Elisha do this? Why in such a strange fashion? Why didn't he go out to him? And why in the world did he send out a shliach without telling Naaman, without going to Naaman himself? The Miyamloe says he didn't go out to meet him because he wanted to show him God's true greatness. He performed this nace as undramatically as possible. Nothing crazy, nothing else. Just dip in the Jordan River and you're good. That's all you got to do. And that's exactly what we wanted to show. No effort at all. Pagans believe that all the forces of nature are independent of God, and that in order to do something, you actually need the forces of nature to agree to it. Here, he's showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of every power. He doesn't care. Just go to the Jordan River. You'll be perfectly fine. No effort is needed to overcome these natural issues. That's the lesson he's supposed to learn over here, and that's why he told him this. So Shir Ma'on, continues that this is all to show that the two rivers, Amana and Parpar, these are two rivers in Aram that were well known for their refuah properties, have no power to heal on their own. It's only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu that any refuah would happen. That's what he was trying to tell him. The Chassam Sofer in Torah Moshe says this as well. The word Hateva is the same as Gematria in Gematria as Elohim. Elohim is 86. Hateva is 86 because God is in charge of it all. Elisha wanted to show him this, and therefore no supernatural refuah was going to be needed over here. When Naaman realizes at the end, that's what made him become a Ger Toshav, because he realized all of that. All those answers go together. Miyamloiz, the Shir Ma'on, and the Chassam Sofer in Torah Moshe. Now the Rinas Yitzchak says that Elisha did this to cause Naaman to listen to his words, even though he didn't comprehend them. Naaman needed a schus to be relieved of the disease that he had on him. He needed a schus of some sort. The schus would be that he listened to the Navi of Hashem, even though it made absolutely no sense to him. Similar to Bnei Yisrael keeping chukim, even though they don't make any sense to them. That's it. Yeah, that was the schus he was supposed to have, and that's the reason why he was going to be saved. The Chassam Sofer says, in those days, Aram was in charge of Bnei Yisrael, and he hoped that healing Naaman would build up the amuna and bitachon of Bnei Yisrael themselves. Here's the idea behind it. Elisha told him something that made absolutely no sense at all, right? He told him, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and then everything's going to be okay, and you're not going to have any problem whatsoever. Said eventually, right, Naaman would do something that made no sense to any doctors, didn't make any sense here, and he would do it anyway, and he would be healed. Bnei Yisrael should do the same. You listen to the Navi, even if the Navi doesn't make any sense to you at all. And that was the problem, that all these times you had people speaking to them over and over and over again to do tshuva and to do this and to do that, and they wouldn't listen. And when Hosea came up to them, when Amos came up to them, the Yeshaya came up to them, when Elisha, when Eliyahu Navi comes up to them, and they don't listen. He says, you gotta listen to a Navi. Look at what happened to Naaman. Naaman listened to me even though it made no sense, and look what happened. He was immediately healed. Can you imagine, B'nai Yisrael, what would happen if you listen to me? If you do this, then the exact same thing is going to happen to you. And the truth is, that's the idea behind what the Navi was being told, says the Chassam Sofer. They knew that they had to do the same, and B'nai Yisrael did change because of this, and all of B'nai Yisrael improved because of what happened in Naaman, and that's why it makes it into the Navi itself. There are other miracles that Elisha did, that Eliyahu Navi did, but what makes it into the Navi is something that helped Klal Yisrael, and this helped Klal Yisrael. The Chida and the Kliyakar give a third answer as to why he did this. They both say that Elisha knew that his tzaras came, the tzaras of Naaman came, because he was a Baal Gaiva, a person with a tremendous ego. Naaman wouldn't even get off his chariot to go into Elisha's house. He expected Elisha to come out to him and meekly bow down the ground in front of him and ask for the opportunity to help him. See, if Naaman would have gotten off his high horse, literally, and gotten off that and gone to Elisha's house and knocked on the door, then Elisha would have answered the door and said, come in. But when Naaman stayed outside, that's when Elisha said, I'm not going out to you. Your whole problem is that you have gaiva. I'm sending a messenger out to you, not even a regular messenger, a nobody messenger, to go tell you what to do. I'm not even going to go out to you at all, because you need to work on your ego. That's exactly what he's trying to tell him. He therefore told him to do something super simple. Don't take a whole entourage with you, like you did to my house. Don't go in a big carriage. Go by yourself to the Jordan River. Don't make a big deal out of it. Dip into it like you would a mikvah 7 times, and that's going to be enough. Lower your gaiva, he told him. You think Amana and Parpar, these huge rivers, are better? That's because you're a Baal Gaiva. Go to the Jordan River, a simple river that doesn't have anything special there. Knock yourself down, and then you're going to be okay. And that's exactly what Naaman realized. He fixed himself by going down. And by the way, that does make a lot of sense why he calls it the Jordan River. Yardain is from the word Yarad. Lower yourself down. Make yourself go down. Humble yourself, and you're going to be healed. Water obviously goes down to the lowest level, says the Kleyaker. And that also stands for humility, for some form of anivus. The truth is, that's exactly why we have various herbs that are involved in the sprinkling of the paraduma ashes. You must have a hyssop, right, which is something that's a lowly piece of grass involved in the healing to symbolize that humility. I was thinking a fourth reason, maybe because if he knew if he went himself to go look at it and you'd see how bad it was, he wouldn't be able to get rid of it himself. It's possible that Elisha couldn't see the tzaras of Naaman, that if he would have seen it, he would be afraid that the tumor would be too much and there would be nothing he could do. Instead, he sent someone else to send a message to be able to tell him what to do, right, keeping his tahor eyes away from the tumor. Maybe that's what he's doing over there. The Mayan Shel Torah and the Kol Yechiel quote Rabbi Elazar Okeach, who says that Elisha understood from Naaman's name, and listen to this, which starts with a nun and ends with a nun, nun ayin mem nun, nun and nun, that you have to do something based on all of the psukim in the Torah that start and end with a nun. There are 3 psukim in the Torah that start and end with a nun. The first one is in Parshas Tazria. Nega tzaras kisiya be'adam v'huva ala kohen. A nega tzaras, when it happens to a person, you bring him over to a kohen. In Parshas Re'eh, Navi mikir b'cha me'achecha kamoni. If there's a Navi amongst you from your brothers like me, yakim l'cha Hashem l'kecha. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu made for you, a love tishmun. You better listen to him. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a Navi like me, you gotta listen to him. Starts with a Navi, ends with tishmun. And in Parshas Matos, Nachnu Navor Chalutzim Lifnei Hashem Eretz Kanan V'Itanu, right? We are going to pass by fully armed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the land of Kanan, V'Itanu Achuz Nachla Senu, and we're going to have our Achuzas Nachla, Me'Eivar LaHayardain, on the other side of the Jordan River. Do you see the connection? If you have Tzoras, the Pasuk in Parshas Tazria, then you go to the Navi, that's the Pasuk that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, then the only solution is to go to the Jordan River to wash yourself. All 3 psukim that start and end with a nun, one is about tzaras, one is about going to a navi, and the other one is talking about the Jordan River. So those are the nuns, and that's how we knew Naaman would be healed from the Naaman itself. Now, the truth is, there is a tremendous power behind these psukim that begin and end with a nun. The Chida suggests saying all 11 psukim in Tanakh that start and end with a nun in order to get rid of ayin hara. I do this every single day, actually. I'm not sure why specifically these psukim, but I do all 11 psukim every single day. The Alker Gershuni brings this from the Megali Amukos, that he says it as well. I could not find it in the Megali Amukos. I wasn't sure what to look up, but the Megali Amukos is a big safer. So either way, regardless, but that's the idea of the noun. Now, Miam Loeis points out that the word haloch in Pasuk Yud is written as a noun, not a verb. Not holeich, but haloch. It's similar to saying going, as if going, you will wash. Elisha was telling him, I know you're going to listen to me. At first, you're not going to. You're going to think it's nothing. But I know you're going to listen to everything I say, and therefore everything's going to be fine. Haloch. As you're walking, you'll see this is going to work. You might not like it, but you are going to listen to me. And that's exactly what Elisha told him. Naaman said he expected that Elisha would just wave his hand, Ela Makom. What does it mean, Ela Makom? So Rashi says it refers to the affected part of his body, the tzaras. He would just wave his hands on the makom, on the body, and he would heal him completely. Miam Loei says he would wave toward the Beis HaMikdash, right? They didn't have the Beis, well, they had the Beis HaMikdash, even though Elisha hadn't been there because he was in part of Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael, and he wasn't part of Malchus Yehuda. But either way, asking for help. The Ralbag says it means the place where he serves Hashem, asking for that tzchus to be able to help the cure. And the Abarbanel says it was toward the waters of the Jordan, imparting special properties to the Jordan River to be able to heal Naaman. That's the makom. We're going to end with this. The Baal HaTorim says there are three times that the word asaf is used in Tanakh. One obviously is here, right? The idea over here is that he says va'osaf ha-metzora, the tzaras is going to go away completely. The other one is by paraduma, va'osaf ish tahor, he's going to gather together all the different things you need for the paraduma ashes. And number three is va'osaf nidche Yisrael, when Mashiach comes in Yeshaya perek yud aleph yud beis, that all the nidche, the lost ones of Yisrael, are going to be brought back. This is because tzaras is compared to someone who died. That's what the Gemara says in Nedarim, that if you have tzaras, it's like you died along with somebody who becomes poor, or somebody chas shalom doesn't have children. And just like the ashes of Parah Aduma is metayer, someone who's been in contact with a mace, so too the tfilos of tzaddikim can be metayer, anyone who comes in contact with tzaras. In the future, we will not need those ashes anymore to become tahor, nor will we need anybody else to daven for us for the tzaras to leave, since bila hamavas lenetzach. In the future, we won't have any worries whatsoever, and that may be a bracha. The bracha is that we should have bila hamavas lenetzach. We should never have to worry about tzaras ever again, and everything should be good. Have a good Shabbos, everyone. Should be good.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.